time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, I'm on. I really don't know how I got here. It's been an interesting day. Now, I knew Scott was changing things around, and I thought after I emailed him that he said I'd be on from 10 till 12. So I was here 10 till 12, and not a soul was around. So I thought, well, I'll stay till 12:15, and nobody was around. And I, about what time was it? I left here about 12:30 and went home, and then I looked at my smartphone, which I'd forgotten. My email said I'm to be here from 1 till 3. Well, turn around and come back, and I make it in time. I come down the stairway here, and my key wouldn't work. I struggled trying to get my key to work. Normally, it, you know, no problem. So I went around and came down through the Beltone hearing aid entrance. And I crawled down their stairs and came in. And there again, I tried. I couldn't get my key to work. But all of a sudden, it did work. And good thing, because I left all my material for today out on the steps when I came back up the steps and came around through the hearing aid center. You wouldn't believe. And yet I hardly believe. And how did that all happen? I don't know. But I'm here. I'll be here till 3 o'clock today. Oh, my. And I kept thinking, too, if I'm not here till 3, suppose some people come to claim their prizes. Now, we had one lady already pick up her tickets. And I thought, well, we're always open on Fridays till 3. Well, we are today, that's for sure. All right. I'm almost out of breath because my condition, you know, I'm not 100% well. But I am good on oxygen. Man, despite all this, I still had oodles of oxygen without having, you know, carrying my equipment with me. So I accomplished that. And here I am. And how are you? What's going on today around the area? Let's see, this is July the 12th. There's something coming up, a fishing program later today at 5 o'clock at the lake there at the Her Road parking lot. Anybody 16 and over must have a fishing license. Okay, that's at the Tall Grass Trail. All right, now let me see what else. Oh, I know. Yesterday, in the mail, I got the greatest, what would I call it? Informational package. Ruth Haas. Now, Ruth has been a steady listener of mine for many, many years. And Ruth, at one time, of course, went to the same church that I and my wife go to now, the 16 Methodist Church just north of Martell. Well, Ruth had gone there years ago, and of course, I know she kind of misses it, but she lives in Marion. Of course, I live in Clarendon, and we drive it every Sunday. But anyhow, Ruth had a picture of the church. from way back when it was the horse and buggy era. It shows the hitching rails and everything, and and pictures of people that went there from years ago. So I got all that together, and I managed to get that to one of our older members of 16, you know, one that's been there since childhood. And now she has putting all this together, because we have a doings coming up a week from this Sunday, inviting all the churches from all around, the Methodist churches in the area, anyone else would like to attend, free food, and a lecture on traveling to Israel. And thank goodness Ruth Haas supplied all this material to me that I was able to move it on. And the people coming in a couple of weeks from now may be able to see some pictures of their relatives. Wow. That picture of the church, though. Oh, my goodness. Showing the rail, you know, it'd be over 100 years old, that picture. Wow. And that's what I really, in all my years in radio, it's things like that that make it so worthwhile to spend your waking hours, you might say, in broadcasting. And people like Ruth Haas sure makes it a pleasure. My goodness. All right, now, I do have some new prizes today. I noticed, let me see what they gave me to give away. Ooh, I got a one free meal, a small meal, from Arby's on McMahon Boulevard. Mm-hmm. And then I've got, of course, the open-air safari passes, zoo tickets, and do I have the bay? Zimbezi Bay? Let me see here. Do I have Zimbezi Bay? Maybe not. Maybe it's just the zoo tickets. Okay. Zoo tickets. Oh, there's a Zimbezi Bay. Okay, I got a pair of those. And a lot of zoo tickets, and tickets to the annual Irish Festival in Dublin, Ohio. And so I've got, I can give away two, one at a time, of course, free small-sized meals at McMahon Boulevard Arby's. Now, that's not any other. This is McMahon Arby's, McMahon Boulevard. Yeah. Okay, so that's what we got. Do I have some people out there? I hope so. I want to see that phone ring today. Please. You know, there's nothing more frustrating than to be on the air and think you're talking to people and no one calls. All right, now what else is going on? The fair is over. Of course, it's been over for, well, let's see, almost a week now. And what else? Oh, I know there was a... Now, this is interesting. The ice cream social at the Salem United Methodist Church took place this past week. Oh, yeah, this week. When was it? Wednesday or Thursday. And the crowd was not like it was usually, or would be usually. And everybody was looking at each other and said, why is this? And the only thing they could figure, that they used to call Jeff Ruth on WMRN and advertise the Salem Ice Cream Festival. But Jeff was gone, and all that local stuff is gone. And so it showed up. But now here's the thing. Here we are. And we're open to anyone and everyone who has anything to, you know, you want to mention. And I just wonder if we could have helped. But I never got a call from anyone saying, hey, would you mention the ice cream social? Okay. But it's kind of interesting. Speaking of Jeff, Jeff was down in New Orleans recently. I don't know if he's, I would think he'd be back by now. If he's not, I bet he wishes he was, because New Orleans is kind of flooding. I had a very good friend of mine doing some contract work in New Orleans this past week, and all of a sudden he realized, hey, I got to get out of here. It's flooding. And so he couldn't get a flight out of New Orleans. The airports were closed. So he had rented a car and drove that car all the way to Atlanta, Georgia, and got a plane out of there to come back to this area. But that's what's going on. And, of course, this provides the news media all the news they could ever use. You know, all the news. Oh, and, of course, it's serious. New Orleans is lower than the ocean level. And that's why it's such a big problem. They have to have these dikes to keep the water out of New Orleans because they are below sea level. Now, why would they build a city below sea level? But they did. I guess it was so nice down there. All those crawdads and everything. I don't know, do they have a lot? No, they don't have grow lobsters down there, but they do those crabs and what else? Oh, shrimp by the bucketfuls, yes, and fish of all kinds. 1:27 is the time. After our break here at 1:30, we'll ask our first question for today to see how awake you are. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's a great day outside. It's not as sweltering as it has been earlier. It's not bad out there at all. I don't think it's up to 90 yet. It's probably in the low 80s. Beautiful day. Oh, boy, what a day for a picnic. And I hope that if you got a picnic scheduled for tomorrow, fine and dandy. Okay, here we go. Yes, good morning. Good afternoon.
You were talking about New Orleans.
Yes.
And I kept forgetting to tell you until now that you know that the chef that's on PBS, Kevin Beltran?
Yes.
The New Orleans cook?
Right.
Late one night, it's been 2-3 weeks ago, he was cooking an oxtail.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep.
Wow.
Cooking an oxtail.
Hmm.
So, I thought that was kind of funny, considering you were talking about oxtail
that's soup right,
and
yeah.
ox roast and all that stuff.
Yeah, and the real factor is there are oxtails.
That's right. And, hey, there are people that will eat parts of animals that we would turn our nose up.
Well, that's right. The tail is going about as far out on a steer as you can go.
Well, eating pig ears and eating pig's nose.
Well, not too many do that. They save those for animals. Dogs.
Well, the Chinese.
Yes.
Yeah, they just fry them up real crisp and munch on them. I guess they're kind of like potato chips.
Well, look what we do to also a pig skin. Cracklings and things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you got a commercial coming up here?
Hey, by golly, I do.
We'll talk later.
Okay, we'll see you.
Bye.
All right. Yeah. I'm just glad to be here. You realize I was here for 2 or 3 hours this morning. Misconstrued. I go home and suddenly find out I'm supposed to be here. And I barrel back here, get here in time. And then I can't get in the door. I can't open the lock. But I'm here now. We're all in business. And we're coming up in a few seconds for our break, and then we'll be right back and with a question and prizes. It's now 1:30.
Hey, Ted, what's the best part about being so well-known?
Well, meeting all kinds of new people, you know, taking pictures and signing autographs.
That's great. What's the worst part?
That after selling a 500,000 autographs, I've got the worst case of carpal tunnel syndrome since John Hancock.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 p.m. to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Guests like legendary civil rights icon and comedian Dick Gregory.
Today I shut everything down. My wife was laughing because if it wasn't for this show, y'all wouldn't hear from me. And that's why you have people listening to you. that don't listen to other things. First, they want to hear you. There's something in your voice. When I got off the plane yesterday, my wife told me, she said, you know, your friend called in 1 or 2 days. And I said, we'll move Wednesday around. And we do it on Wednesday and tell them I do the day date on Thursday.
Well, Mr. Gregory, that I thank you so much for that, because it is always a pleasure to have you on. The king of all talk show hosts, Bill Donahue.
Well, you're very kind, and thank you, Scott. And I don't mean to look like I'm kissing a baby, but you are very good yourself. I will say this about you. You don't float a battleship of words around a rowboat of thought. And I'm afraid I do that once in a while. I do that usually when I'm least convicted or informed about my answer. The less I know, the more I talk. I think that's a lot of these are some of the things I learned over the years. The slow learner has learned after 5,000 television shows. But everybody should have the break that I had. A lot of breaks. And my hat's off to you. Thank you for your pursuit. I noticed that too. You reminded me of all the times that we worked very hard again and again to get guests that we wanted, including Ralph Nader and many others. So it's been a joy. I'm pleased to have been here. And I hope it'll cut.
I think it'll. WWGH Radio, now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. Join us.
And here's your rowboat of thought. Oh, my goodness. How often does he say that? Your rowboat of thought. You get to think about that. A rowboat of thought. Anyhow, here we are. And our first question for a prize today would be, okay. Now, you're up at Lake Erie. Let me think. Now, you're around Battery Park in Sandusky, Ohio, and somebody says, hey, how about this L-E-W-S? L-E-W-S? What does that mean? L-E-W-S. That's a quite known range of characters around Sandusky, Ohio. L-E-W-S. Now, put them all together, and what do they stand for? Figure that one out. Oh, there's somebody that knows. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, Charlie, I think I called you once before.
On that?
But on your last advertisement for Phil Donahue, there's no voice.
Oh, really?
It's all music the whole way through.
Oh, no kidding.
So we never hear him saying about the rowboat.
Well, I'll be doggone, a rowboat of thoughts.
Not there.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. Or good, well, not to hear. I get so tired of him saying that.
Well, you have to tell Spears, I guess.
Yes, Scott, to come up with something other than a rowboat of thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you know what L-E-W-S stands for?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, if you did, I'd give you a prize.
I understand that. I appreciate that.
Okay, why?
I've been sending you a few questions to ask, but I don't know if you want any or not.
Oh, yeah, I could always. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Okay, I'll send some more.
Hey, that's great. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. L-E-W-S. What does that stand for? Up along Sandusky. Port Clinton, maybe. Putin Bay, and even Pelee Island. L-E-W-S. What do those initials stand for? Okay. I've got this Arby's, one free meal, the small meal, and I've got zoo tickets, Zumbezi Bay tickets, open air safari pass, Dublin Festival. I've never been to that. You know, Dublin, boy, that's a high-rent district down there. Dublin is a very, it's a beautiful town. My, all the new construction and businesses, oh, wow. But Dublin, you know, people that live there got a little scratch. L-E-W-S, what does that mean? L-E-W-S, those initials. Think about it. L-E-W-S. I asked that question here some time back, but you forgot or you weren't listening. Oh, my. Okay. Well, since you can't answer that one right away, you think about it, though. Write those letters down, L-E-W-S. That spells lose, but it has nothing to do with lose. Okay. Let me see. There is a riverboat restored on the Ohio River some time ago. Boy, oh boy. It's an old steamboat. And its name is what I want from you. I'll give you the initials. WP. What comes after WP? That old riverboat restored. WP what? Okay, that's question number two. Let me see what else I can come up with. Okay, what was an early slang term for Cincinnati? It used to have not a motto, but, you know, they used to call Columbus a cow town. That was a long time ago, because they thought Columbus was a rural city. Well, it's anything other than a rural city anymore. But they used to call it Cowtown. Well, Cincinnati had a title, too. What was it? Okay, there's three questions now. L-E-W-S, name the riverboat restored with the initials W-P, what? And the question I just talked about, 7403-39944. Okay, there we go. There's a ringy dingy. Okay, caller, go ahead. Hello.
Hello, is it the W.P. Snyder Jr.?
Yes, yeah, W.P. Snyder, yeah. He was a man that lived a long time ago, and they named that boat after him. Okay, uh-huh. Now what prize would you like today?
Zumbezi Bay tickets?
Yes, okay, you got them. Now, if you come here before 3, you can pick them up.
Okay.
All right, what's your name?
Carolyn.
Okay, Carolyn. All right, we're open till 3.
All right, thank you.
All right, okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Carolyn wins that. W.P. Snyder, yes. They had quite a show on television on public broadcasting of the whole restoration of the W.P. Snyder. Well, I've seen it. Well, I saw it once, I think, before they restored it. But now I don't think it's goes under its own power. I don't believe. Well, it may. But it took a long time and a lot of money. Yes, those not many of those old riverboats left, but there was a race recently among the big boats, you know, the big riverboats. What is it, the Memphis Belle? What's the one in Ohio? Memphis, Tennessee, of course. But what's the name of the boat in Ohio? And I once knew the people that, I had a meeting once with the people that own it, or the people that publicized it. And I remember giving a speech, and I can't remember where it was, or a talk, about tourism. And the person next to me was from the riverboat here in Ohio. What's the name of the river? Oh, here's a caller. Yes, go right ahead.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a stab at that L-E-W-S.
Yes.
Would that be Lake Erie, Western, and Southern?
No. But you got Lake Erie right, at least.
Well, I got part of it. I'll take my picture of it then.
Okay, all right. Okay. I have to clear my throat there. You know, here in the last few weeks, I've been in and out of hospital and here and there, nursing homes. this and that. Boy, is it nice to be out. Woo, wow. Oh, yes. There's nothing like being free. Free to roam. Of course, you're free to roam when you're in a nursing home. They try to get you up and get you walking. That's not exactly free to roam, but they like you to roam. Yeah, that's part of the, there's two different kinds of recuperation. The recreational and what else is it? Recreational and the kind where you have to know how to operate at work. Recreational and occupational, that's it. Occupational. Okay, moving right along. Oh, I'll never forget trying to get in here today and finding I couldn't get in the door. And so I have a hard enough time getting down the steps. You know, I need to recuperate some more to manage those steps better. My knee joints aren't what they used to be. You know, I used to bike hundreds and thousands of miles. Boy, it'd be a tough thing to do today. Okay, WLEWS, those initials, the first two are Lake Erie. Lake Erie. What are the last two? The WS. All right, now, what else? I got my WP Snyder. Okay, cross that off. Let me see, what else can I ask you today? I've got all kinds of questions here. Cincinnati. What was the slang term for Cincinnati? You remember I said that Columbus was called a cow town. Cincinnati had their own funny title. Do you know what it had to do with agriculture, just like Columbus being a cow town. They thought Columbus was out in the woods. The early people. And the same way with Cincinnati, highly involved in agriculture. And it got its title from that. All right, now, here's a good question. Thomas Edison, born in Milan, Ohio, around, 1847. I used to portray Thomas Edison's father, because I used to also portray Warren G. Harding all over the place. I traveled all over doing that. But then at the Milan Festival every year, they had me portray Thomas Edison's father. And he was a hard worker. He was a shingle maker, incidentally, just like me. And the Edison family, though, moved, old man Edison, he was kind of a rabble-rouser, really. Yeah, Tom's dad. But so they moved out of Milan. I don't know if they moved because they were uncomfortable. Oh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Was Cincinnati Porkopolis?
Yes, Porkopolis, right. Okay, now what would you like for a prize?
What do you have today, Charlie?
I've got Arby's. That's one small meal at Arby's on McMahon Boulevard. And I got the other usual, Zumbezi Bay and the zoo and open-air safari.
I'll take the open-air safari.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. And your name I should know.
Caleb.
Caleb. Okay. Caleb, I'll put your name down here. Now,
Scott, WWGH Radio is my favorite place for news.
Well, Ted, I take that as high praise.
Well, it's true, without a doubt. Where else can you find a mayor, governor, treasurer, and the golden voice all on the same show? Variety is the spice of life.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
This is Scott Spears, and I hope you join me Monday through Friday from 12:10 to 2 p.m. to listen to guests like these. Phil Donahue.
29 years, and imagine what happened during those times. And we talked about it, and this show had my name on it. It was wonderful. You got to meet everybody. Is the caller there?
Sally Jesse Raphael.
All they wanted was shock value. And so they put in producers to do that kind of show, and I kept saying, no, I won't. And I made a conscious decision to do what I didn't want to do because I needed the money. And eventually they put me out of my misery by firing me. And that's okay.
Cookie legend, famous Wally Amos.
And around the corner comes George and Barbara Bush. The first thing that occurred to me to do was to play...
Legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
But it was kind of interesting because Phyllis Diller kind of always played on this, hey, I'm ugly image.
Well, baby, let me put it like this. I used to get so much revenue for playing witches. That's witches. As in Halloween. And darling, after I had that first beautiful facelift, I never again was offered a witch role.
Is that right?
Now that tells you a lot.
It definitely does.
And my social life improved.
Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m., right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Sure won't. Okay. I'll try not to miss it. Oh, boy. Yes. Back to LEWS. Lake Erie, the first two letters. But what are the other two? WS. LEWS. Yeah. Everybody, if you went to Sandusky and the first person you saw going down the street, you would say, hey, how about LEWS? And they say, not for me. Okay. Now, let's see. What else can I tease you with? Okay. Oh, yeah. I was talking about the Edison family, how Tom's dad was kind of a rabble-rouser. I portrayed him several times at Milan, Ohio, right near his house. I made shingles while young Tom, a young boy, who portrayed Thomas Edison, he helped me. Like, boy, that took you back 100 and some years in time. The Edisons, or Tom, was born in 1847 in Milan. And then, you know, his dad was kind of a political activist, really. And they decided they needed to move. They moved out of Milan and went somewhere else. Let's see, how far did they go? Well, not too far. What state? I'll make it easy. What state did the Edison family move to, pulling little Thomas along with them? What state did they move to, the Edison family? You know, while they were in Milan, Milan was the biggest wheat shipping port anywhere around. Farmers from this area here, they used to load up their wagons, head for Milan. Ooh, that was a long way, too. Can you imagine the old Route 4 before it was paved? None but ruts. And when it rained, it was quite a rut. But they used to take the grain from here and all over up to Milan and load it out on ships. And away they went on Lake Erie. Who knows where they ended up? Hopefully not over Niagara Falls. But that's what drains Lake Erie, you know. Lake Erie is so full of water right now, we need to drain some more of it over Niagara Falls. Oh, Lake Erie is a mess. You know, up at Put-in Bay and all around, some of the boats are docked. They're floating above their docks. My. Okay, so what I... Oh, yeah, LEWS. Tell me what that stands for. And if you have a relative in Sandusky, you call them and say, what does LEWS stand for? Okay, now, the Edisons, what state did they move to? What state did Thomas Edison's family move to? Now, Tom was born in 1847, and they left, I think, about 7 years later. He was kind of a youngster. They boarded everything up, took everything, and away they went. All right, now, here's a good question, too. You tell me what state they settled in after that. There is a festival. Oh, there's festivals everywhere in Ohio and all your surrounding states. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine at any one time how many festivals there are in the United States? Okay, well, coming down closer to this area, there is a festival called a street fair. You could call it, you know, you could call most of the Bratwurst Festival, Popcorn Festival. They could be street fairs. They're in the street. Mm-hmm. But there is one in this area called a street fair. Where is that? Yeah, you need to know. Not many people know before they go and traveling, and they end up having to detour around the street fair. Now, in the street fair, it's like a junior fair. They have animals in the street, under tents. Yeah, that's right. It's a real street fair. Now, you tell me, where is it? Where is the street fair? Now, I once gave a speech in that town on, a little bit of everything on history. But that town was famous for an inventor. Oh, this guy invented everything. Almost. Yeah, he was a real Thomas Edison in a different direction. He wasn't electrically, yes, he was to some extent. He did invent the electric starter for a car. But what's the name of the town with the street fair? Yeah, Charles Kettering was the man I was referring to. Boy, he was a go-getter. And, Charles Kettering, so well-known. But the big thing, the electric starter. Now, you know why they wanted an electric starter? Because men were having their arms broken all the time by cranking their cars. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Is it in Bellevue, Ohio?
Bellevue?
Yes.
What? The LEWS?
Yellow Springs.
Oh, Yellow Spring? No, it wasn't. Okay. LEWS. Yeah. Yeah, Bellevue is the one I talked about yesterday. It had the underground river. Not over underneath all of Bellevue, but part of it. And there is they'll show more of it on television about water guzzling up out of sewers in the street. And that's exactly what used to happen in Bellevue. When the underground river got full of water from, heavy rains, from flooding, the water would gush up out of the streets, out of the manholes, and blow the manhole cover off in a lot of places. But, yeah, that used to happen a lot. I think I might have a picture of that. I don't know. But that's what happened in Bellevue because of the underground river. But I'm looking for the Lake Erie WS. What would that be? Lake Erie WS. Or what state did the Edison family move to from Milan, Ohio? Okay, now, here's another question. There is a hatchery festival every year in a town not too far from here. A hatchery festival. There is such. This town used to be, that I'm talking about, it was famous for the chickens. Oh, man, they hatched more chickens than you could ever count. And so they have a hatchery festival every year, even though it's not the hatchery capital of Ohio anymore, I'm sure. I don't even know if they have hatcheries there anymore in that particular town. But boy, they sure did at one time. And in that town, they have the nicest museum. Oh, boy. Also, in that particular town, the Catholic Church every year has a big chicken dinner. Oh, boy, it's big. And outside, you can buy a glass of beer. And games and different things in that particular town. That town is noted for its beginnings. The people that began that town. Oh, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, I believe it's Milana, Ohio.
Milana? No, it's,
yes.
That's not the one. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay, the Hatchery Festival. Oh, and the Street Fair Town. The Street Fair Town is, I'll give you a hint, it's east of us. East of us. And if you're going to a particular area where the buggies roam, you usually go through that town unless they're having the street festival or the what do they call it, the street fair. Okay. Now what is that town? The home of Charles Kettering. Kettering not only invented the electric starter, but like I was telling you, I get off on different tracks all the time. He had, people just loved his invention because men were breaking their wrists all the time. You see, you cranked a car. Now, none of you listening ever did this. I don't believe. You cranked a car. You know, it had a crank sticking out underneath the radiator. And you would give that a good cranking. And then the engine would sputter. And it sometimes sputtered backwards. And if you were still holding on to that crank, bang, went your wrist. Your hand, your arm, whatever. Yes, indeed. It wasn't supposed to do that. It was supposed to be a deal where if it did start up, it wouldn't catch. It would leave go. But sometimes it got all mixed up. And you'd be cranking away, and bang, went your wrist. Now, none of you would ever remember that. I do. Well, I bet there are some people listening that remember cranking a car or cranking a tractor. Yes, the tractors were the last thing to be cranked, I do believe. The last to get an electric starter. Oh, boy, those are some years ago. I can see it now. The man reaching down, and a lot of times it'd be real easy to crank, and then it would catch because it'd start the compression stroke. And then you had to get into that compression stroke to where the spark plug lit the gasoline and bang, away she went. Yep. But boy, with an electric starter, now these new cars, all you do is press a button, right? Yeah, you reach down there on the dash, boom, away it goes. But not the way it used to. You see, if you'd lived 50 or 80 years ago, you would really appreciate being able to push a button and start your car. I do remember I had a neighbor, though, in 1947 that had a Ford automobile, and he had wired it up for all you did was push a button to start it. I don't think it came that way. He happened to be the manager of the airport in Bucyrus. See, I remember a lot of things, even though I may forget yesterday. All right. In about 30 seconds, we're going to break for about 15 minutes or so. Then we'll be back. And I've got Arby's, one free small meal to give away on McMahon Boulevard. And every time I mention McMahon, I think of Jerry McMahon, the younger of the brothers, and John McMahon. John McMahon, the bus driver for River Valley. And, yeah. The McMahon's, and...